It's time now to get behind the headlines of this week's Hendersonville Lightning with editor and publisher Bill Moss.
Good morning. Good morning. It's just after 8 o'clock, and it is time for one of my favorite times of the week. It is Lightning Radio time as we get behind the headlines of this week's Lightning with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. Bill, good morning.
Good morning, and good to be back in the community with the Q Nation here on Lightning Thursday.
And as always, Bill, and it's just getting more and more, there's never a lack of news in Henderson County. Never a lack of news.
Yeah, which for 11 years, guaranteed to be better this week than last.
Which is one of the reasons why what you do is so valued in our community, shining a light on what is happening in our community. So let's do it. Let's get behind the headlines. This is a thick Lightning this week. We'll get as far as we can go. Let's start with something we've been talking about for a while now, and that's the commissioners and the 2045 comp plan. They are now signaling that maybe they're open to some changes to it.
They did signal that in some ways more general, and in a couple ways I can talk about in a minute.
Sure.
A bit more specific, and that is that, y'all have brought up a lot of points. You've been bringing up a lot of points for these past nearly 3 years when you go from the beginning of getting the consultant on board and having lots of public input and including last Wednesday morning's meeting when 26 speakers spoke for about 90 minutes total, most of them taking their entire 3 minutes and telling the commissioners this is not the plan we want. It's not the plan we told you in 7,000 survey responses that we want. So you need to do better. Either dump it, the speaker said. They urged them either to dump the draft they had before them or significantly strengthen it. So in the end, they adopted a 2045 comprehensive plan, a guide that is yet to contain the land use categories, Mark, such as zoning, very important, that will determine what kind of development actually can go where. This is not a land development code, and this is not a zoning ordinance. Rebecca McCall, the chair of the commissioners, said after that long public comment period came to a close, this is a plan. We have identified the problem. We have to study the problem before we can come up with a solution. Yes, there can be some more meat in it. It could be stronger in some places in what was, I'm sure the audience regarded as the understatement of the day.
Uh-huh.
So a couple of points. She went on to say there seems to be this misconception that we have improved all these developments that are going on that you see, and we have not. And she pointed out that since in the 5.5 years since she'd been on the board, they had only approved one big subdivision, which was a high-density apartment complex and subdivision at the old Taproot dairy property.
Yep.
And Commissioner Andriotta also, he blamed the city for having approved all of these developments, which is true. They're mostly either in the city, like a couple we'll talk about later today, or they were outside the city, but then will be in the city when those are the ones that are annexed because so they can get sewer.
Of course.
So what did they immediately do that signals, maybe we will listen to this, these grievances about that the plan encourages urban sprawl? They had what they called a red line that was supposed to be describe where higher density development would go. They pulled that in closer to the city limits.
Yep.
And then Michael Edney went on to say, Commissioner Michael Edney, we need to get beyond the 10,000-foot level and start the implementation process because that process is going to address the concerns these folks have brought up today. And this is the important part here. We need to abolish these conditional zoning concepts, which makes us look like prostitutes negotiating with developers. That's what he uttered. And we need to eliminate special use permits and replace them with black and white standards so that everybody knows what the rules are going in. And like it or not, that's the rule. And you don't get into this quasi-judicial mess that causes heartache and anger. And so that is a like we say, it looks like they'll take a look at that and maybe remove those conditional use permits that go to the Zoning Board of Adjustment, not to an elected county commission.
Right.
And remove those special use permits that also go to the Zoning Board of Adjustments, like that causes things like the Newfie therapy place that neighbors didn't like, and the rehab center in Saluda on Fort Creek Road that neighbors didn't like, and a variety of other things. And the storage units, which all were defeated, but that neighbors also very much did not like.
Were there any specific comments to note that were made by the two commissioners that are ending their term in December?
David Hill somewhat agreed about the pulling that red line in, and Commissioner Andriotta, since you asked, was the one that said he blamed the city for permitting development and annexing newly built homes and businesses. If the landowner says I'll annex in exchange for water and sewer, it's a done deal. They don't need our approval. And then finally, Commissioner, again, we said a little bit of this before, but they took the unusual step of making a videotaped Q&A. Mike Morgan, the communications director, did a short, I think it was 2.5 minutes, Q&A with Chairwoman McCall, which she said there could be some tweaks, and we know that growth is inevitable, but we have to find a way to manage that growth. We can't stop that growth, as some people seem to want to do, but we can manage it. So we'll see. There is a lot, and on the website, they report, the planning department I'm talking about, that they got now about probably an 18-month process to apply zoning to the land.
Wow. I'm glad we're talking about this, and I know we'll talk more about about land development here in a little bit and some more construction, but I had the opportunity yesterday. I had to drive around and see some of our clients, so I was driving throughout the county in different areas, and finally at some point in time, I just thought to myself, wow, I'm really seeing a lot of construction.
Yeah.
I'm seeing a lot of construction all of a sudden,
yeah.
Whether it be some of these new gas station type things you were talking about, or additions to buildings, or whatever, or clearing land for developments. I'm just seeing a lot.
Yeah, Clear Creek Road.
Yeah.
South Allen Road.
Yeah.
Greenville Highway.
I'm not saying good or bad. I'm just saying surprised at how much actual things are under construction
now. The big convenience stores.
Yeah.
Blue Ridge Commerce Center.
Yeah.
It's going to be many, many semi-tractor trailers in and out of there once that opens, which is going to be soon.
Yeah. So, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
So let's move on to something that, well, it was construction, and now it's no longer construction, but guess what? HHS, that construction project, has won an award for being best building. What's that about?
Yeah. After such moaning and groaning and gnashing of teeth in politics over many, many years. This is what I was talking to somebody about this who was very closely involved, and he just had one really good summary of it. We got that one right. It took a long time to get it right, but they got right that one. What are we talking about? The $62 million expansion and renovation of Hendersonville High School. It won a 2023 Pinnacle Award from a construction industry trade group for best building project, and it was submitted as among all the big projects costing more than $5 million, and it won from the Carolinas Association of General Contractors based on, among other factors, unique aspects and challenges, special values, project management, budget and schedule, and safety performance. Team partners besides, well, we have here pictured with the 2023 Pinnacle Award for the design renovation expansion of HHS was Vinoy Vice President Brian Walker, Commissioners Michael Edney and Rebecca McCall, Vinoy Project Manager Aaron Renwick, and LS3P Architect Maggie Carnival. And so you want to hear a couple of other?
Sure, yeah.
Among the notable achievements of the project were preserving the historic 1926 Stillwell Building and auditorium. You've been in the new auditorium. It's terrific.
Yeah.
leaving two areas unfinished to display the terracotta block originally used on the walls and ceilings. I don't think I knew that. I thought that was really neat. Building a, quote, learning stair that connects the gym. That's the Jim Pardue gym. They raised the old stone gym that connects the gym to the lower level of the new addition, reusing stone from the original building on the new monument sign and the press box, and giving wood. This one was really neat from the old gymnasium floor in that stone building. To shop students to build bench seating.
Oh, wow.
I didn't even know that one.
Yeah, me neither, but that was a beautiful floor.
Very cool.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, gym floor wood is really nice hardwood.
Yeah. Well, congratulations to them. Very, very well deserved. Before we go to our break, let's talk more about construction and about growth.
Yep.
I was wondering about this because we had talked about in a couple of Lightning Thursdays ago about some developments on Highway 25 on Greenville Highway. And then suddenly I saw this one, and I knew we had not talked about this one, and I called you about it, and you said, yep, you knew about it, and you were looking into it, and it would be in the next Lightning, and here it is.
Yep.
Talk to us about this big clearing we've suddenly seen, and this beautiful old white house that I never knew was back there.
I know. You couldn't have seen it.
Which apparently is going away.
All the woods. Now, most of the woods is gone. It looks like they did try to leave as much of a buffer as they could on most of the property, not all, but on most of the property that fronts on Greenville Highway itself. But, yep, sure enough, it's cleared for this 50-unit townhome project that the Hendersonville Planning Board got blessed and approved last September. That came after neighboring homeowners very vigorously opposed the much larger plan in August 2022 meeting to build a 185 unit apartment complex. So the developer, Washington, D.C. based Lock 7 Development, with lots of development, 13 years of experience in residential, commercial, and mixed use projects in Washington, D.C., and quite a bit here in North Carolina, is the developer of it. They have, what you've seen out there is clearing. They've cleared enough for 105,000 square feet of new construction for it's going to be an array of 11 buildings from 7,500 to 9,900 square feet. And the website calls the project, creatively enough, 1202 Greenville Highway, and says it'll be completed in 2025. But I don't always believe websites when websites promise things like that.
Of course.
When you're talking about NCDOT driveway permits
and
stormwater permits and et cetera, et cetera.
Needless to say, there's going to be work going on there for a while.
There will be work going on there for a while.
Yeah. All right.
And I don't know if they're going to phase it, like maybe get a couple buildings open and then have some. You've seen that. That's the way they did with that Universal apartment complex.
Right.
That's the horseshoe around the post office annex. They had about a third of it finished and people living in it.
Bring some revenue in.
Exactly. And then they were building the rest of it. And they're still building out there while maybe a half to two-thirds of it is occupied.
Wow, it's crazy. It is crazy. Hey, folks, you are listening to Lightning Radio with editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com, Bill Moss. We will be back with more. Keep it tuned here to theCUBE.
Kaysen Builder Supply, the official sponsor of patio season, providing quality landscape and masonry materials, exceptional customer service, and superior delivery from locations in East Flat Rock, Brevard, and Greer. Now is the time to prepare for patio season with a visit to Kaysen Builder Supply in East Flat Rock to see displays of outdoor rooms, pavers, retaining walls, and fire pits. Kaysen Builder Supply, providing exceptional service for over 40 years. The official sponsor of patio season. Kaysen Company.
Finding the right insurance doesn't have to be a difficult task. That's where the professionals at Barnett & Coates come in. Family owned and founded back in 1969, you can rest assured that the Barnett & Coates team has a strong insurance background paired with product knowledge to serve you best. From auto, home, business and contractor liability, and business auto to outdoor vehicles and watercraft, with Barnett & Coates, you'll experience the quality service you only find with an independent agency. Barnett & Coates, Spartanburg Highway near Chick-fil-A, or at barnettandcoats.com.
Do you have a single family home or any type property that you're thinking about renting? Or you're already renting property and still want the revenue, but you're tired of management headaches? PMI Blue Ridge will get rid of that headache and potentially save you money. If you're curious as to how much you could profit on your rental, call PMI Blue Ridge Property Management. You'll deal with a local management company with the strength of a national brand. Property management is what they do. PMI Blue Ridge, property management you can trust. PMIBlueRidge.com.
Hey folks, there are only a few days left to RSVP for Easter brunch at Canuga. Canuga's Easter brunch is 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Easter Sunday. Enjoy the grounds as Canuga's hiking and walking trails will be open and an Easter egg hunt at 11 a.m. for ages 1 to 6. Canuga's famous brunch buffet features treats like pineapple glazed ham, lemon and herb chicken, crispy bacon, baked eggs with leeks and spinach, and an assortment of veggies, salads, and more. Cash bar available. So call 692-9136 now for your reservations for Easter brunch at Canuga.
And we're back with Lightning Radio with Bill Moss. Bill, we got a lot more still to cover here this morning, and let's get to it. Let's take some time. A lot of party news in this week's Lightning. I'm gonna follow your lead on these headlines.
Yeah, it's a party moment, sure enough. here, starting out with UNC Health Party opens pharmacy on hospital campus. They are doing a lot. I heard a little bit more about this yesterday when I was at a meeting of the party. The UNC Health Party Board of Directors, and they've gotten this open seemingly pretty quickly with the Party RX is there at 1027 Fleming Street under the watch and guidance and service of the new pharmacist Bryce Caldwell and Kenesha Smith. And I heard this yesterday that if you're there at that blue party family practice, there's actually a window inside from the clinic side into the pharmacy. So you get the doc writes you a prescription for some drugs you need, and then you just go to that window and pick it up. Through Party's affiliation with Party Blue MD and its federally qualified health center status, pharmacy can offer services to all patients regardless of ability to pay. Because what you're seeing is these practices becoming more and more busier all the time ever since Party went in with Blue Ridge Health and qualified as an FQHC. Which means that they can serve many patients, and I think the federal government helps pay if the patient cannot.
Ah, okay. Interesting.
Furthermore, Party adds four providers at these Blue MD practices, and that'll be Dr. Aaron Potswall, a board-certified family medicine physician and Air Force veteran. He joins the Party practice at 824 Pisgah Drive. That's the one in Laurel Park. While Drs. Parker Leland and Emily Sawyer, also board-certified family physicians, and Wren George, a board-certified PA, physician assistant, will join the practice at 1027 Fleming Street, where that we just talked about, where the new drugstore is.
Okay.
So pretty cool. Check out all of their little biographical sketches and pictures on page 34 of this week's, which was page 34, which means it's a 40-page issue, right? We mentioned that?
Scott, I mentioned it was a thick issue.
It has delinquent tax notices in it. Uh-huh. Very important.
Okay, gotcha.
And then finally, Party Foundation announces its inaugural She Slays 5K on Saturday, April 20th to raise funds for Henderson County women battling cancer.
Okay.
Check out all the details.
All right. Thank you for that party news moment, Bill. League of Women Voters has announced something, and there's a familiar face. There's a familiar face in this story.
Yes. We broke the press. The Henderson County League of Women Voters will present a forum on the First Amendment and access to public records, Mark. And that's at 7 o'clock next Thursday night, April 4, at Grace Lutheran Church, 1245 6th Avenue West. And who are the stars of the show?
Who are the stars, Bill? Who are the stars?
Program will feature Hendersonville Lightning editor Bill Moss, North Carolina Press Association Legislative Council and First Amendment specialist John Bussian, and Henderson County attorney Russ Burrell. We'll discuss how the citizens and media access to information, freedom of information, and how access is determined. The program, of course, is free and open to the public. And for more information, there is a link listed here to the league's website. And the reason they asked me what I helped put this together, and I did, and I invited John Bussian, who is our lawyer lobbyist for the North Carolina Press Association, uh-huh. which, remember, I served as president.
Yes.
Still, I'm immediate past president of that. But Russ Burrell, not because I thought that would be adversarial, but because he's very good at complying with public records requests.
Sure.
He's very knowledgeable about it and very agreeable to it. And he goes, sure, it's a public record. We'll get you all of that information you're seeking about, let's say, how did the floodway application come to be?
Uh-huh.
Sometimes we make a public records request like that. Sometimes we make one when there's a sheriff's deputy, which they ended up firing practically on the spot when he fired at the kid that was banging on his cruiser,
right.
in the apartment parking lot a couple months ago. And they immediately provide what North Carolina law permits them to provide in terms of personnel records there in a case like that.
So those are the things we'll learn at this seminar.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
Those are things we'll learn at this seminar.
Okay.
And people might want to say, well, how can I get public records? And we'll try to answer those questions. If they may have something specific that I probably don't even know or may not know. I know a lot of what the law is, but we'll have two lawyers there that will know what the law is.
Sure, absolutely. Well, good. I'm glad you did that. Thank you for providing that service, and thank you, League of Women Voters. Speaking of women, ultimately, the Athena nominees have been honored at a reception. We want to announce those Athena nominees, but it's not just for women. This year we have a man nominated. It's always been open, and so congratulations.
We have our first male nominee.
Yeah.
For an Athena Award, which you can check that out. That'll be awarded on Tuesday, April 23rd at the Business and Professional Women's Luncheon at BRCC with keynote speaker Molly Grantham. She's well known, a news anchor, author, speaker, and mom. This year's Athena Award nominees are pictured here. Nice picture of the ladies and gentlemen. Are Anna Connor, nominated by Lauren Wilkie, Elizabeth Wilson-Moss. I'll talk about a Pardee moment. Now this is a Moss segment. Elizabeth Wilson-Moss, nominated by Sharon Terrell. Gail Hoots, nominated by Marcia Cunningham. Sonia Jones, nominated by Leslie Carey. Corinne Isles, nominated by Jen McDonald. Jennifer Baucom, nominated by Melanie Friedel. Gloria Jackson Glow-Knock, nominated by Julie Honeycutt and Morgan Grindstaff. Brett Halsey, there he is, nominated by, it says, an anonymous community member. Peggy Allen, nominated by Harriet Hilton and Julie Honeycutt. And Michelle Cervantes, nominated by Amy Cervantes.
Well,
so that, and they had a really nice segment. I attended this reception as well, where the nominees read their nominations, and they were very impressive.
I bet. Well, we say this every year. All of these nominees should get the award.
Exactly.
But it can only go to one, and this is not a popularity contest. People aren't voting here in town. There are people who don't know.
Right.
They just get
them.
Out
of town judges don't know the names.
Right.
Don't know the organizations necessarily.
Yep.
They don't know what Hope, the one Peggy Allen runs, that moved out. They don't know what IAM is. They don't know what any dozens of these org. They're either businesses or nonprofit agencies.
Exactly.
And you're right. That's a good thing about it.
Yep. All very well deserved. Before we finish up, shame on you, Bradford Pears. I had no idea until this story came out that Bradford Pears were bad.
Yeah, we didn't. We did not know that the arborists had been dissing. It was dissing the Bradford Pears this way.
Right.
The only negative comment I can remember about Bradford Pears is that, like, there'd be a lot of new suburban development in Raleigh.
Yeah.
And the natives would crack that, well, we've gone from the city of Oaks to the city of Bradford Pears. Because they didn't like the new, a new suburban office development would come in and plant a bunch of Bradford Pears. And they weren't oak trees. So they didn't like that. But I did not know that they are now said to be invasive, weak, annoying, and stinky. I saw a Bradford pear, and I said, I need to make a picture of Bradford pear to
yeah.
illustrate this story.
They're all over the place.
Yeah, but I smelled of it, and I didn't smell
a
stinky.
I've never known a Bradford pear to be stinky.
I've not known one to be stinky either.
I just know that they bloom early, and many times yeah. we get snow or ice yeah. in it, and it you know, and it's
like snow on the daffodils,
it, right?
Or snow on the dogwoods,
right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
this has been news to me.
I know. So, but here it is. There's a bounty. While we're talking about this, there's a bounty for them. You may participate and receive replacement trees at no charge when you remove up to 5 Bradford pear trees on your property. And there's all kinds of rules. You got to take a before and after picture. You bring a piece of the Bradford pear. You do it yourself or pay for it to be done yourself. They don't come and chainsaw it down for you. So one native tree is exchanged for each Bradford pear tree removal. Check about all how you can do that on page 9. It's it'll happen on May 4th.
Okay.
So you got plenty of time to figure it all out.
Okay, fantastic. Okay. Let's do a couple more things here, Bill, before we finish up. Let's run through some of the Easter events going on this weekend.
Yeah, starting tonight, special Hollywood foot. This is one from Episcopal Church of St. John in the Wilderness, always very active and opens up all these events, not just the church members, but the community.
Yeah.
And this Holy Week services start tonight with a special foot washing scheduled for 7 o'clock tonight. This is Maundy Thursday, by the way. On Good Friday, the Stations of the Cross begins at 11 o'clock with Good Friday services in the church sanctuary at noon and 5:30. Easter Sunday services are 8:45 and 11 a.m. with the Easter egg hunt for all the public in between those services.
Okay.
Children should bring their own Easter basket.
Okay, got it. And let's move on to our final story this morning, Bill, and that is... Flat Rock Playhouse had a really interesting announcement. Hal Linden is coming back. He's been here before. He loved it so much. He's coming back, but bringing on another special TV, movie, and Broadway star as well.
Very cool. And it's very cool that Hal Linden said they are performing for the first time in their own words, the, quote, Journals of Adam and Eve. Well, it'll tell the true story of the legendary couple, the world's first love story, as only they could tell it. And you are correct in saying Hal Linden returns to the Playhouse for the first time since the world premiere of Two Jews Talking in 2022.
Yep.
Except for my family, Mr. Linden says, no one treated me as good as the people at Flat Rock. And you may be trying to mine your memory for what was he in? An actor, singer, musician whose career has spanned more than 65 years on stage. He's probably best known for his portrayal of the police captain Barney Miller.
Yep.
In the hit television series that aired on ABC from 1975 to 1982, earning multiple Golden Globe and Emmy nominations. But listen to this about Mary Lou Henner.
Yeah, I had no idea
She has starred in 7 Broadway shows. It lists them.
Yep.
Get this, 76 films, including L.A. Story and Noises Off, and get this, and 31 Hallmark movies,
yeah,
3 national tours, and 2 hit classic sitcoms, Taxi and Evening Shade, a 5-time Golden Globe nominee. She's also a New York Times bestselling author of 10 books on health, parenting, memory, and lifestyle improvement. Also has a radio show and a podcast, and holy cow, she's busy.
Yeah, she's busy, and she's coming to Flat Rock. It's April 11th through the 14th, I believe that show is. I bet tickets are, if they're not already gone, they're going fast.
5 performances only.
FlatRockPlayhouse.org or 6930731. Bill, there's still so much more in this week's Lightning. How can people pick up their copy?
By going around in what, a nice sunny day today?
Absolutely. Well, pretty sunny, yeah. A little windy for a while.
It's a brisk wind out there right now.
Yeah, yeah.
But going out into that nice weather to visit any of the Lightning Orange Rocks all around the county or our dealer partners, such as supermarkets and convenience stores, or by going to HendersonvilleLightning.com, clicking on subscribe, joining the growing legions of Lightning fans that get their Lightning today, Lightning Thursday, or by calling Jan at 698-0407.
You've been listening to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of the Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. This program, as well as past episodes, can be heard in their entirety on our website at WTZQ.com. Click on air and scroll down to Lightning Thursday.